words for a moment. They are familiar words to many of us, these words at the end of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We hear these words at every baptism. You hear them at weddings. We hear them at ordinations of ministers and elders and deacons. These words of blessing. Very, very old words. We sometimes call them the Aaronic benediction, the Aaronic blessing, because these were words that were given to Aaron. He was the head of the system of the priests. These were words that they were to pronounce on the people. And we sometimes call it benediction. That's a Latin word that means good word. Good word. And these are good words. This isn't a prayer. I think it's important to know that from the outset. Likewise, the blessing or the benediction that a minister might pronounce at the end of a sermon or a service isn't a prayer. It's a pronouncement of the blessing of God. The mouth of the priest was to be the mouth of God pronouncing the blessing on the congregation. And it belongs to my office as a minister and pastor to bring to God's people the blessing of God. And so I hope we'll all understand a little bit better this benediction, this blessing this morning. It's not, as I thought as a young boy, a warning that the service was about to finish. It's not a countdown to pack up your bags and get ready to go. This is God blessing us. We should know at this point in their history, the Israelites were about to set off on a dangerous, difficult journey. They're about to do their journey through the Sinai Desert. They're about to travel through the wilderness. A very uncertain journey, a journey that held lots of difficulties. They would have to face the wilderness. They would have to face wild animals. They would have to face enemies, multiple enemies, full of uncertainty. And what do we find? We don't see them coming to God, asking for blessing, pleading for blessing. We see the other way round. We see God coming to them, deciding to bless his people. He's not saying, "Oh, don't worry, just be happy. Don't worry, just think happy thoughts." He's not saying that. He's promising blessing on his people. And isn't that something that all of us need to hear? Don't we all need blessing? Don't we all need this protection and this promise this morning? Like the Israelites, the journey in front of us is full of uncertainties. We don't know what will lie in front of us tomorrow. Maybe this past week you have received a bad word from the doctor. Maybe you have suffered a grievous loss recently. Maybe your business is headed downhill fast and you've tried everything. Do we not need this blessing? Certainly in our church family and in our personal families, we need this blessing. The Christian parents this morning presenting their child for baptism, they need this blessing. And their family and friends need this blessing. Surely all of us need to hear God speak this blessing into our hearts and lives. Everyone needs blessing. So I want to look with you this morning at three parts of this blessing that we see in this passage. Firstly, blessing comes from the Lord. That's the first thing we see. Blessing comes from the Lord. The name Lord is repeated in these words. It's repeated three times for emphasis. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Showing us every time where blessing comes from. It comes from the Lord. And so it's fair to say that blessing is God's idea, isn't it? As we thought a moment ago, this isn't Moses coming to God pleading and begging for a blessing. God takes the initiative here to bless his people. In verse 22, we see the Lord spoke or said to Moses. It's God's initiative. It's his desire and his intention to bless his people. He wishes to bless them. And I think that would have been a very significant thing to the Israelites as they heard these words. Remember, they were surrounded by other nations. These other nations all had their own little false gods. These other nations had to plead and beg with these false gods for blessing. They thought they had to bribe or manipulate to get blessing in return. Here God says, I want to bless my people. You don't have to twist my arm. You don't have to manipulate me. You don't have to bribe me for blessing. Here God comes in his mercy and love to bless his people. And something we should know from these words, that our English language is weak at getting across. In verses 24 to 26, the word you is not plural. God isn't saying, I will bless all you ones, or I'll bless all yousons. He's not saying that. This word you is singular. God's speaking to individuals in these words. I don't know about you, but when I get post through the door that says, instead of saying my name, it says the occupier and then my address, or the homeowner and then my address, I automatically know this is just some cold, generic, a blanket advertising campaign. It's not going to have much relevance to me. But if something comes through with your name on it, it surely will be much more relevant. This blessing has got your name and address right on it. God's saying, I'll bless you and you and you and you and you. Each one of you. This is a personal, individual thing. He's speaking directly and personally to each one of us this morning. If you're a Christian this morning, you could put your name into these words. This is God speaking to you. God pronouncing his blessing on you. Are you a tired and weary Christian? God says, my desire is to bless you. Are you a worried and stressed follower of Christ? God says, my heart is to bless you. Are you an elderly saint, fearful of tomorrow? God says, I want to bless you. Children here, believing parents this morning, this is for you. Blessing comes from the Lord. Yet, as we know, so many people persist in looking for blessing in all the wrong places. Many think that possessions will make them happy, or that the more they have, the more gadgets we have, the fancier the car, the better the holiday, the more fashionable the clothes, well, that's what's going to make us happy. Lots of people think that, don't they? The bigger the bank account, the fitter we are, the better the relationships we have. Well, that's where blessing comes from. The idols of our time, the false gods of our time. But surely, friends, deep down, we all know those things are fragile, unsatisfying, ultimately destructive. Where do you look for blessing? It comes from the Lord. And if it doesn't come from the Lord, you won't be blessed. We're to look to the Lord for blessing. And those of us who are parents this morning, one of our tasks and responsibilities is to teach our children this, that blessing comes from the Lord, not from the false gods of this world, not from the pleasures that this world offers, but everything comes from the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. He's the one who blesses. Let them hear it in your voice. Let them see it in your life, that blessing comes from the Lord. That's the first thing. Blessing comes from the Lord. Secondly, blessing meets our every need. Blessing meets our every need. I wonder what you think of when you think of the word blessing. That's a bit of a common word, isn't it? We hear it a lot in Christian circles. Bless so and so. People would pray for blessing. It used to be a common thing. It still is to an extent that people would say, God bless, at the end of a conversation or the end of a phone call. God bless. It's maybe something you've heard somebody saying before a mealtime, bless this food. You've maybe heard it after somebody has sneezed. Bless you. What do we think of when we think of blessing? Is it a magical, mystical, airy, fairy feeling? Well, the words before us and at the end of number 6, they do give us a description, I think, a really good description of blessing. And they unfold for us what blessing is, what it means. And there are 4 things that we can briefly see about blessing. They all begin with P, and they should be helpful and easy enough, I think, to remember. First thing, blessing means God's provision. It means God's provision. When Old Testament people thought of blessing, they would have thought of it as something extremely practical, something very earthy. They would have thought of blessing to be food and shelter and family and friends, work and leisure. People were blessed when they had these things. It means God's provision. What about your life, friends? Do you understand that everything you have that is good and true has been given to you by your Father in heaven? Everything you have is because he has blessed you. You're here today. I'm not saying you're all tip-top form, but you're able to come out to church, and so you must have reasonable health. That's the blessing of God. I assume most of us have had breakfast. That's the blessing of God. Do you realize that every day? Do you have work to go to tomorrow? That's the blessing of God. Have you had some time of holiday? That's the blessing of God. Do you get money from the government because you don't have work to go to, or you can't have work to go to tomorrow? That's the blessing of God. Everything you have is the blessing of God. And part of parents' jobs, part of the job of parents, is to teach their children that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven. A very simple way you can do this is by giving thanks for food, saying grace. Not a little ritual. It's a very profound thing. Bowing our head over a plate of food, saying of that food, this is God's blessing to our lives today. This is God's provision. There are other parts of the world where you wouldn't take a plate of food for granted. We should certainly be thankful for it. Blessing means God's provision. It means also God's protection. God's protection. This phrase, the Lord bless you and keep you. The word for keep was often used of a soldier on duty. He was keeping, protecting his post. Here God's promising that he will keep his people. As we thought earlier, the Israelites were about to go on a difficult journey. God's saying, I will keep you. I will watch over you. Do we not need the very same protection? Our society is rapidly becoming a wilderness. We're travelling with our families through this wilderness. Our enemies are many and they are strong. And their fortified cities are oppressive and mighty. But God will keep us. God will protect us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? As we journey to our promised land, he doesn't promise that we will get there riding on a bed of feathers. But he does promise that he will keep us. We're going to sing at the end of our service from Psalm 121. The Lord shall keep thy soul. He shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. He's going to keep you. Christian parents don't need to bring up children in fear, because our God is keeping our children. So it means God's protection. Provision, protection. It means also God's pleasure. God's pleasure. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Have you ever seen somebody's face shining? Think of a little child at a birthday party. And the birthday cake comes in and everyone's singing. Their face is shining. Think of a groom standing at the front of the church, seeing his bride come up the aisle. His face is beaming. That's how God promises to look on us. His face shining. As he looks, he's delighted and overjoyed at his people. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, it's not surprising that we will be delighted to see God, but that he should be pleased to see us. Surely that's astonishing. God's blessing means that he's overjoyed. He looks on us with pleasure. He smiles on us with delight and love. That's the greatest blessing in life, friends. Do you know this blessing? If your view of God this morning is of an angry God scowling on his children, I have to tell you, you don't know him at all. Oh yes, he's a father who is holy, a father who disciplines us, but he's still a father, kind and gracious and gentle and patient, and his face shines with delight as he looks on his children. There's a verse that's tucked away in the Old Testament, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Blessing means God's pleasure. Provision, protection, pleasure, and peace. Blessing means God's peace. Verse 26. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, we tend to think of peace as the absence of strife or conflict. They talk about the peace process. Mothers here, I'm sure, know what I mean when they've said, give my head peace. The absence of strife or conflict. But this word for peace, the biblical word for peace, is much, much bigger than that. This is the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness and completeness and well-being in the totality of your soul. It speaks of life being altogether peace. This is what everyone needs and everyone wants. This is peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what God is promising his people. God's saying, I'm giving you my peace. Isn't that wonderful? We don't need to be stressed to the eyeballs with the rest of the unbelieving world, because blessing means God's peace, provision, protection, pleasure, and peace. In short, the blessing of God meets our every need. But there should be a question coming to your minds. I wonder if you're thinking it already. We should be starting to think this question. How is all this possible? This all sounds a little bit too good to be true. How can I get this blessing? How have I missed out on all this blessing my whole life? I mean, I'm so unworthy of this blessing. I'm a sinful person, unclean. I actually deserve God's curse rather than his blessing. How is it possible for his face to shine on me with pleasure? How can a holy God bless sinful people? Well, I want to say thirdly and lastly, blessing is possible because of Jesus. It's possible because of Jesus. Notice, tucked in at the end of verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And be gracious to you. Blessing is possible because he's a gracious God. He's a God who's full of grace. How can he be gracious? Well, the answer, of course, we need to look to Jesus Christ. From all eternity, Jesus had this blessing in full. It was his. From before time, the Father blessed him, and the Father kept him, and the Father's face shone when he looked at him. We're told at his baptism, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son." That's the pleasure of the Father. Again, the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. But then what happened? Well, Jesus went to the cross, and God no longer blessed him. And God no longer kept him. And he was stripped and beaten, tortured to death. No longer did the Father's face shine upon the Son. The Father's face was hidden and turned away. And the blessing was cancelled for you and for me. That's what we deserved, and he bore it willingly. So that the result is, blessing is possible for you and for me. Paul writes in Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." The blessing is restored. The Lord blesses us, keeps us, causes his face to shine upon us. All because of Jesus Christ. Let me ask every single one here today, do you know this blessing? If you're not certain of Christ's death for your sins, if you're unsure that you're even a sinner in need of saving, you've every reason to wonder if God will bless you. You've every reason to wonder if his face will ever shine upon you. This peace is just something you long for. You have trouble holding on to it. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'm afraid this isn't a benediction to you. Rather, the opposite is true. But it is held out to you today. It's possible because of Jesus. Will you not embrace him as your Saviour and receive this blessing? And those Christians here this morning, do we forget this blessing? We act as if we aren't blessed people. We grumble as if we aren't blessed. We worry and we fret, thinking that we're not blessed people. Are you not sure that the Lord's going to keep you? Are you not sure that he's going to provide for you? Do you not think that he's going to protect you? This is God's blessing to you. And notice, finally, that the way this is written, this blessing was something to be repeated to the people of God. We're told in Leviticus 9:22 that Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And it's thought that he used these words to bless them. Something he did every day. He lifted up his hands, blessed the people. We read from Luke where Jesus lifted up his hands, blessed the disciples. This is something God's people are to hear over and over and over again because we forget it. And that's why in most churches, worship ends with a benediction. Not a prayer. It's not a prayer. It's a pronouncement. It's not me as a minister asking God to bless the people, but it's I as God's servant in his name telling you that he's blessing you. It's no exaggeration to say that it's the climax of the worship service when we lift up our hearts and say to God, let the floodgates of heaven open up and fill me with blessing. It's something I've been comforting myself with over the past few days. If you get nothing else but the benediction, you're getting an awful lot. In the days when the sermon is really mediocre, you can comfort yourself, well, at least we got the benediction. Now, these are words that drip with grace and mercy. Do you know this blessing, dear friends? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.